Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, thank you, Brent. It's so good to be back on the Empower Radio station talking to positive, good people about the work that they're doing. Today, my guest is Alan Hunkin, who is an author and a speaker and a broadcaster himself. And we're going to be talking about something that's very important to Alan, and that's worthiness. He's written a book called Worthiness, The Missing Link to Everything. And we're going to find out more about the book. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I know that I'm going to want to after this conversation. Welcome, Alan.
Paul, so glad to be with you.
It's great to have you. We're on opposite sides of, I'm on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast, but we have a great connection, so we'll be able to learn a lot about some of the work that you've been doing, and I bet some of the fun that you've been having, too.
Oh, you betcha, yeah. Well, of course, I was actually on the West Coast or on the East Coast last year. I bought my motor coach in New Jersey, and then I drove it back all the way back to Vancouver, which was quite an adventure. But we're about as far away from each other as we can get geographically, but I think psychologically and spiritually, we're very close. So we're always connected.
I agree with you. Let's begin by giving people a little bit of background about you and your life and what brought you to the point where you decided that you wanted to write this book.
Oh, boy, that's quite a story. But I'll sum it up in a couple of minutes for sure.
Okay. All right.
Adopted at birth, didn't bond with my mother, ADHD, OCD, and a bunch of other letters that I don't want to go through. Just a sense of not being connected. I tell people that I learned about spirituality and connection by having the opposite of it,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that there must be something opposite to this. So always involved in personal development. From a very early age, I guess it's just because really my life was filled with a lot of pain. And so I read my first self-help book when I was about 11. It was called How to Hypnotize Yourself. And I've often said later, over the years, it must have worked because I've spent the last 30 years unhypnotizing myself.
Okay.
So, married at 18, business entrepreneur. I call it entrepreneur because I didn't do it very well. And but I was speaking and writing very early, 23, 24 years old, conducting seminars. Originally, I conducted a course called Adventures and Attitudes, which is now owned by the Carlton Company, and then went on to do other things after that. I always had a love of aviation, so I was involved in manufacturing kit planes for about 12 years. And then I had the, all of the while, of course, I'm studying personal growth, I'm doing a little bit of speaking and counseling and stuff like that, but not so much. But in 1991, I had the year. I had bankruptcy, cancer, and divorce all in the same 6 months.
Wow.
So that'll put you on your knees. Any one of those will put you on your knees, but I had all three. So the big guy was really trying to get my attention, obviously. So I said, well, if I'm going to not make it, then I'm going to definitely leave this world doing what I love the most. And so I left the aviation business and got back into counseling or back into speaking and personal development. But before that, or as that happened, I basically went back and did a real life review. Here I was, 38 years old. I was broke. I was sick. I was alone. And I was a guy who'd read every success book there was on the planet, and I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But and I sat in this apartment in West Vancouver, with radiation fatigue, saying, you know, what did I miss? And that opened up a question of on my knees for about 2 years in inner child work and the deep examination of who I am and what I was about. And then began to get the idea of this sense of worthiness or lack thereof, if you will. And so I started writing about and speaking about worthiness in 1994. And I haven't always spoken about it since that time, but I've done basically research all the way through from 94. And I've written a small book about it, and then now more of a major book. And I have worthiness.com, so it just made a perfect sense to really, really focus on that for a while.
Alan, it definitely sounds like you've been through a lot. And I think people who have dealt with challenges often have more credibility when they speak or write about moving forward and working through challenges because you've had those experiences. Do you think, looking back, because you were speaking before that difficult cycle and after that, you actually changed in a fairly substantial way so that the work pre and post difficult time changed?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at 23 to 33 on the stage, it's all about me, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about show and glow, if you will. Yeah. And I was originally trained by Zig Ziglar. I worked with Zig, a very famous speaker for all of that time. And but then after you go through that life transition, and cancer will kind of always wake you up. It's one of those things that really gives you a knock on the side of the head. I really never felt that I was going to die from it. I really refused to even have that idea. But it does cause you to have that kind of reflection. And then it has to be about the story and what you're involved in and how you show up in the world. It has to be much more about the world and us rather than just me.
You know, the use of the word worthiness is not, it's not a word that that I think we hear frequently. And for me, it reminds me of self-esteem. Are they the same thing?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, self-esteem, self-worth, I call those two-dimensional. They're kind of a way of, you know, I have self-esteem. Yes, high and low. There is a measurement in there, but it's pretty two-dimensional. Whereas worthiness, I see as much more holistic and three-dimensional. And that's one of the reasons why it's we're not as aware of it, is that it comes at us. We experience it in so many different ways than just feeling good on a given day. You know, today is worthiness is not about having a good day, or worthiness is about trends and patterns that are going on in your life and seem to be reoccurring. You know, a failure pattern, a problem in relationship pattern, a being alone, can't find a relationship, always being broke, always a tendency to buy high and sell low.
Mm-hmm.
And many other things that give us that sense of, that we realize that, hey, there must be something going on deeper than just whether I feel good about myself.
All right. Let me ask you another question, and that is worthiness something that we earn or something that we are born with?
The true definition or the true experience of worthiness is an experience of our unnegotiable value, our complete innocence and value. And so everything back from that, from 100% valuable to ourselves, to everyone, to the world, to the universe, everything back from that is a degree of unworthiness.
And it strikes me, especially given your mentioning the first self-help book you read was on self-hypnosis, I would imagine that maybe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but that you're born worthy, and then through a process of negative self-hypnosis or other influences, you begin to feel unworthy. But in fact, you still are essentially worthy just by virtue of who you are. Does that make sense?
Yes, of course. We are. All of this work is about removing the barriers to experiencing our own worthiness. But there are some things, and there are actually, I think I've listed five ways that kind of set what I call the worthiness set point in our life. And this is at somewhere around 6 months after birth, we decide how much we're worth. And that is as a result of our experience in the womb. We know now, of course, the research is very clear about if the mother is having a lot of strife in her life, then this is going to have an effect. The experience of our birth, the actual experiences of that moment of when we came into the world. Of course, the natural things are, parents and the experiences and things we had out in the world, but also the sense of, for instance, whether your mother and father really loved each other, or was there real tension? There's often another tension that shows up, and that is that with a sibling, if you happen to be the second born, and the sibling has had mom and dad's attention, your older brother or sister has had your parents' attention for undivided attention, 100% attention, especially because they're the firstborn, is all this, Google stuff, Google. And then in a lot of cases, the sibling is jealous, and that jealousy can be felt. We don't know it is jealousy at 6 months old, but we know that it doesn't feel very good. Right. And then, but I also go even deeper than that. And I believe there is a factors in setting our worthiness set point, establishing our worthiness set point that are established pre-birth and that we bring this in with our DNA. It's in part of our lineage, and holistically, we would say that we carry forward these issues from generation to generation. Places that where part someone in our family was not healed, is deeply wounded, and that kind of thing. I do believe that has a bearing on this. So there is a certain part of us working on our worthiness that is not about us in this world. It's just not about your mom and your dad and things that happen in your life. But there are things that you're having to deal with that are beyond just that.
And we're about halfway through our conversation, at least this particular conversation, but let's turn our attention to the positive message in your writing and the work that you do. And the question that I want to turn to now is, how can people sort of take advantage of some of the things that you've learned and increase their sense of worthiness?
Right. So in the book, we talk about the worthiness set point, and that is your capacity at this point in time to receive all that the universe has to offer. And we all have a place where we turn away. If I was done with you, if you didn't know me and you all said, hey, come on over, sit here. And you did. And I started handing you $100 bills, one right after the other, with no apparent reason or no apparent agenda. By about the fourth or fifth one, you're going to be going, hey, well, what's going on here? And by the tenth one, and at some point in that, you're going to have to get up from your chair and walk away because it's just too much. It's overwhelming. So the first thing about this is to kind of go through and kind of establish what you think your worthiness set point is. And this is a set point between where I call everything and nothing. So okay. Above the line of worthiness, we'll go below. Below this worthiness set point, you know, on the scale, and this is what I've done, is I've built a model that involves a scale and a cycle to show what how this works. And the whole point of this book is that worthiness is very difficult to understand and experience because it's so close to us. It's so close to our skin and who we are that we can't really experience it. We can only experience the results of unworthiness. And so it's like the little fish saying to the big fish, "Mummy, what's this ocean you keep talking about?"
Okay.
And so there's that. And this, but once we understand that we have some capacity and there's an ability to receive, below that line is a place, a zone that I explained called how bad will I let it get? And this is a place where, an alcoholic who drops through his worthiness set point, the set point that they came in with, that they've established, and keeps going down, 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 and until they either die or they turn the corner and head back up in this cycle. How bad will I let it get? Reaching the worthiness set point line, and then above the set point line is a zone called how good can I stand it? Mm-hmm. And as we rise in that cycle, we eventually turn away from receiving everything, and then we go back down again. So this cycle can be the famous 10-year cycle, the famous 7-year cycle. It can be people will notice the themes and patterns in their lives. It's like every 3 years, every year, every 6 months, down to, when you really drill down into this, you find that this you're going through this worthiness cycle about every minute, and mindfulness and awareness of what's happening that is going to tell you what's or help you know what's going on. So definitely, it's like just learning this principle, really the beginning of it. Once you know how to ride a bike, you can't unlearn how to ride a bike. So the first part is to see it. And then a simple question, right now, am I turned towards how good can I stand it? Am I rising in the cycle right now? Or am I falling? Am I up in that zone but falling? Have I passed through my worthiness set point below into a zone, into a place where the theme of which is life should be better than this? And, guy is always wants to be, even both of us, we want to meet that perfect soulmate, mm-hmm. right? But how many of us meet that perfect soulmate and run like the Dickens the minute we do? We find worthiness, will cause us to self-sabotage. But even more than that, worthiness is something where you'll be walking down the street and you won't even see that person. You literally won't see them. I tell in the talk in the book about when I go to a party, I walk in and I look around the room and I, visit a little bit. And then I back off and ask myself, who am I seeing in this room? And so, and notice this one, that one, I connect with another one over there, all of that. And then I switch my mind. Who am I not seeing? And who am I not seeing? Because as being in this field, people can render themselves invisible. If you were a girl or a young boy and your father was an alcoholic and every time he came home on Friday night, he was going to pick one of you to get beaten.
Right.
Then it's an amazing how people can just literally make themselves invisible. If I make myself invisible, I might survive and I won't get beaten tonight. So those are the kind of things that we're dealing with. And all of these have to do with worthiness.
Alan, we have a few more minutes to chat and I have some more questions for you. But
sure.
Just so that I don't forget, how can people find your book so that they can read more about this?
Yeah, it's worthiness.com. Real easy. Worthiness.com, and it's an, available as an immediate download, and so no problem right there.
Okay, well, that's good. So let's talk about, in the few minutes that we have left, what are some things that, whether or not people read your book or not, that would help people and move people in the right direction, at least? Can you think of some things that you could suggest that people might want to practice with or try out?
Well, I really mentioned that I've given part of that already, which is to ask yourself these questions. How good can I stand it?
Right.
Okay, if life's better, life's good right now, how good can I stand it? Or am I thinking, how bad will I let it get? Now, we usually don't think that. We think life should be better than this. On the above the line in the cycle is a place called, if I just do one thing wrong. So you've risen in the social ranks, and you're just really worried that if you don't eat properly using all the proper etiquette at the table, that you're going to be looked at and laughed at in the community, and you'll be kind of kicked out of that group. If I just do one thing wrong, what is it we say, the other shoe will drop. Waiting for the other shoe to drop. So those are the different. So really, to ask those questions here, but. Worthiness is not just something where you can kind of do the top 10 things you need to do for it, because it's much more holistic than that and much more three-dimensional. It took me a long time to put this into a way, and that was really the goal of the book, was to help people see it. This
okay.
is how it works. And the worthiness cycle is the cycle of life. It is literally the cycle of life. And so, as you know, once you can see something, you can probably understand it a lot better. But other than that, the research, the literature out there does not, even people have been writing about self-esteem and self-worth for a long time, does not adequately explain what I'm talking about.
So if people do ask themselves these questions, for example, how low do I need to go, or how high can I stand to be, or how happy can I stand to be, based upon their answers, is that in itself liberating in that you might then not have to sink any lower, or you might be able to break through that make-believe ceiling and move even to a greater place of happiness or fulfillment?
Well, once someone identifies some things, self-limiting patterns, self-sabotage, tendencies to do this, or things that they don't have an answer for, why do I keep doing such and such? Then those are the places where then, normal personal growth goes in to the equation, and we cover a lot of that. And there are some steps certainly in the book. I'll give you just one quick one.
Okay.
I tell the readers to invite the readers to ask the question, why am I creating this now? And here's how I do it. It's like a 5-step process. Why am I creating this now? 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 And you see, so there's a 5 levels within that question.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more holistic than just, how do I feel?
Okay. And when you think of your own life, and really this is probably the last question that I'll have a chance to ask you, how have you been impacted by what you've learned? How have things changed for you, and how are they continuing to evolve for you?
Well, the answer to that is my life is just as good as I can stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. I look around my life, and whatever I got, this is what I got. This is as good as I can handle it right now, with worthiness, with awareness, with mindfulness, with meditation, with reading and understanding it even more. Yes, my life has progressed, and it's progressed much more internally than it has externally. I find that I'm less interested in being a multimillionaire and just much more interested in understanding and experiencing the totality of myself. So I think it's awareness and a deep sense of value, a deep sense of innocence. Am I 100% innocent? No, because I think if you are, then you aren't on the planet anymore.
Alan, that's a wonderful place for us to end our conversation today. And I've heard enough that I want to go to your website and get a copy of your book and take it in. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And I think you have a Facebook page too that we can find and join. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, both Alan Hunkin, of course, is my name, H-U-N-K-I-N, yeah. And then also the Worthiness, just type in Worthiness in the search, and you'll find that page. Paul, it's been a high honor to be on your program. I really have seen what you're doing, and you're doing so many good things for so many people, and thank you so much for having me on the program.
That's very kind of you to say. Take care, Alan, and thanks to all of you for being with us on Begin With Yes this time. We'll be back next week with another new show, and check out Alan's book. I think that there's some good stuff there for all of us. So have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.